So is hip-hop strictly for the under-30 crowd? Does it matter to the culture you live in? Why should you care? Todd Boyd's got an opinion.
Hip-hop, I think, is the most compelling and significant social and cultural force to have come about in America in the last 30 years. It's something that started as music, you know, breakdancing, graffiti, DJing, MCing back in the South Bronx in New York in the mid-70s, and quickly spread from there throughout the rest of New York and eventually throughout the rest of the country. And now it's saturated the globe. It's far from being simply music anymore. It's film, it's television, it's sports, it's fashion. It is a ideology, it is a way of life, it is a worldview. So I would suggest to anyone intelligent who's interested in what's going on in the world as we speak that, you know, they need to recognize that hip-hop is one of the strongest and most consistent manifestations of culture to have come along in quite some time, and it's not, you know, set to go away anytime soon.
Todd Boyd teaches critical studies at the University of Southern California. To him, hip-hop is more than music. It's a message of empowerment for Black Americans today. Boyd's book is called The New HNIC, The Death of Civil Rights and the Reign of Hip-Hop. HNIC refers to the old slavery term, head Negro in charge. Boyd told Ann Strangechamps that it's time we let go of the dusty lessons of the civil rights movement and embrace the new ideals of hip-hop.
Just like the World War II generation gave way to another generation, the civil rights generation gave way to hip-hop. And people having been born and come of age, say, in the post-civil rights era, naturally are going to relate to the world differently than, say, those people before them. So in that way, I'm really commenting on a historical change and how that historical change has affected the way one might, you know, go about existing in present-day society.
A lot of people would find contentious this idea that the civil rights movement is less relevant to blacks today than hip-hop is.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people have found that contentious.
In what way does civil rights speak less to black people today than hip-hop does?
Well, you know, I think it's important to recognize the way in which civil rights has become so mainstream and now such a part of the overall American master narrative, if you will. You can't talk about the 60s in America without talking about the civil rights movement. I mean, it's impossible. You know, it's a movement that had a profound effect on America and, you know, I think continues to do so. But Martin Luther King's birthday is now a long weekend. You know, when you take figures and enshrine them in the culture and accord them things like, you know, holidays, you're really talking about individuals who, you know, are completely embraced and part of the overall fabric of society. And when you think about all that, you know, it suggests to me that you don't create holidays after individuals who are present and viable at a particular time. You create holidays, you know, and name buildings and things like this after people when they're no longer around as a way of remembering them.
Do you mean partly that you do it when people are not only dead, but they're safe?
Yes, exactly. They're safe and there's nothing threatening about them. You know, Martin Luther King's been reduced to an I Have a Dream soundbite. You know, Malcolm X has been reduced to the phrase by any means necessary. You know, and anybody who encounters these figures are going to do so through some mediated form now, be it, you know, a textbook or documentary or what have you. But it suggests that Martin Luther King and that civil rights generation really is part of the past and no longer really viable in contemporary society.
Is it partly just a matter of the amount of time that's gone by? I mean, is part of the problem that the hip-hop generation basically only knows about the civil rights movement from what they've seen on TV?
I think most Americans probably only know about the civil rights movement from what they've seen on TV, except for those people who actually participated in it. But I would say a large percentage of Americans know about the civil rights movement by virtue of what they've seen on TV. You know, the point is, time has passed and times change. When the civil rights movement began in the mid-50s, it was displacing a group of people who were there already. A lot of people found fault with the civil rights movement back in the mid-50s when it first started. And civil rights was a new way of thinking. It was a new way of being, a new way of acting. So like anything, you know, you get to a point where something achieves its sort of highest point, and then it becomes part of the overall fabric. And I think, you know, times passed and times changed. And civil rights, which was maybe once something that was radical and new, is now something, in my mind, old and potentially passé.
But hip-hop has developed its own code, though, this idea of keeping it real, being real. I mean, somebody made the case to me the other day that, you know, Eminem, a white hip-hop artist, can be accepted precisely because he grew up, you know, in a really poor neighborhood with a mom who beat him up. But if he had grown up, say, middle class, he'd never be accepted.
You know, certainly class is part of why Eminem's been accepted. Hip-hop is about keeping it real. I think when you look at a guy like Eminem now, he's realer than a lot of black rappers. You know, that's the sort of point upon which the movie 8 Mile deals with. The fact that, you know, his sort of class-specific white upbringing is potentially more akin to a poor black person than it is that of a middle class or an upper middle class black person. So in that way, hip hop has always been about those people on the margins. You know, even though it started in black and Latino communities and grew out of that culture, I think it has something for everybody. So now that hip hop's global, somebody in Croatia, Turkey, or Japan, or Brazil, they might appropriate this black American urban culture, but they're going to make it specific to their own experience. And I think that's the beauty of hip hop, that it is real and authentic, and it offers something for everybody in that it gives them the opportunity to make hip hop specific to their own needs.
What makes it still hip hop, you know, if it's a group in Tokyo?
Well, you know, the basis of hip hop, beats and rhymes, lyrics and beats. That's hip hop.
The music, not the culture.
Well, but the culture grows out of that music. That's the basis of it. That's the foundation. You know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. I mean, I've been to Tokyo several times, and hip-hop's bigger in Tokyo than it is a lot of places in this country. It's not hidden, and people are not ashamed of it. They embrace it and celebrate it. You know, I've walked through Roppongi and seen Japanese girls with afros, you know, and Japanese guys, you know, pants sagging, and they're wearing Air Jordans and the whole bit. I mean, you know, so the culture starts in America, but these other people come along and make it specific to their own needs, remaining true to the core, but at the same time specifying those aspects that speak directly to them. I had an interesting experience in Tokyo once. I remember being out one night in a incredible hip-hop club, and there's a Japanese woman, and she's dancing, and a Biggie Smalls song is playing. And she's, like, reciting every word of this song, like, word for word, lyric for lyric. And it's pretty, like, fascinating sight. And I try to talk to her afterwards, and I realize immediately she can't speak English. you know, she knows every word to Biggie Smalls, but she cannot speak English. And I thought, how ironic that her introduction to the English language is a Biggie Smalls song. You know, it really, like, puts all these conservative traditionalists in America on edge, in the sense that her introduction to English comes from this cultural form, which in America is not something that people necessarily embrace and celebrate, but in that culture, it's significant. So she couldn't speak English, but she could speak Biggie, and I think there's something very cool about that.
Yeah, the hip-hop movement has been criticized by a lot of people, and from within the hip-hop movement as well, for not having the right moral stuff, you know, for being talking too much about gangsters and getting money and living a life of luxury. What do you think about that, that whole debate?
I think it's funny. You know, what does Barzini say in The Godfather? After all, we are not communists. You know, it's so funny. People want to apply socialist standards to black culture, but no place else. Somebody's talking about the NBA and how much the players make. They want to put a cap on their earnings. But anybody else in the society is free to go out and make as much money as they possibly can. So it's really interesting. When I look at hip-hop, I look at the fact that on the Fortune list of the 40 richest under 40, several prominent African-American figures from the hip-hop generation are represented on that list. To me, that's political, and that's progress, because nobody intended for young black men to be multimillionaires when this whole thing started. So to me, the obstacles that an individual has to overcome in the process of getting money in America is inherently political. So when I hear people celebrate their cars and their houses or whatever, to me, what they're really saying is, look, in spite of all these obstacles you put in front of me, in spite of the racism and white supremacy and everything else in place, I have succeeded and I've done so on my own terms. And I'm going to, every chance I get, remind you of the fact that I've done so on my own terms. You know, birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we're thirsty, like Biggie said. So the point is, you know, this gangster mentality, which is, you know, inherent to America. You know, you look at Martin Scorsese's Gangs of New York. It's not just a black thing. It's never been just a black thing. You know, this sort of hard aggressiveness and pursuit of material and wealth is very, very American. But when it comes to hip hop, people now have a problem with it. And I think they need to really think and look at this in a way very different than they have up to this point.
Hip hop's music, but it's incredibly verbal, linguistic music. It's poetry.
There's a million and one different ways you could start to talk about the poetry of hip hop's lyrics, from, you know, Rakim, the guy I call the poet laureate of hip hop back in the day, to, again, a Biggie, a Jay-Z, a Nas, some of the great MCs. So when I hear Biggie Smalls say 50-inch screen, money green, leather sofa, got two cars, a limousine with a chauffeur, phone bill about 2 G's flat, no need to worry, my accountant handles that, and my whole crew is lounging, celebrating every day, no more public housing. I mean, you know, he's really laying out this sort of elaborate picture of how he went from, you know, one place to the other. Like I said, birthdays was the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we're thirsty. How he came up, social mobility, evolution. Or you could take it back to Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, the hip-hop unit that bought social consciousness and political commentary in the game way back in 82 with the message, broken glass everywhere, people pissing on the stairs, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, I can't take the noise, got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back, junkies in the alley with a baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, because the man with the tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. So, you know, when you deal with stuff like that, you hear, you know, the poetry inherent or something maybe even a little less overtly political, but still poetic. You know, when Jay-Z says, you know, rock aware, I'm the young black Ralph Lauren. Every time I get out, they pull me right back in. The Michael Corleone of the microphone, the Michelangelo of flow. I paint pictures with poems. I gather no moss like a rolling stone unless the Grim Reaper visits my home. So it can go in many, 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 many different directions. But, you know, to me, when hip hop's great, it is always about some incredibly poetic lyrics that touch deep in the soul.
Todd Boyd teaches critical studies at the University of Southern California. His book is called The New HNIC, The Death of Civil Rights and the Reign of Hip-Hop. Ann Strangchamp spoke with him.